Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, January 20th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, 24th ranked South Carolina traveling to Lexington tomorrow. Rick Pitino, the pot calling the kettle black. More Gonzaga butt kissing, which is something we hear every year about this time. A former SEC assistant coach kills SEC football. Conference championship games are this weekend. Rajon Rondo has found a new career after basketball. And we try to pick some basketball games for this weekend. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Number 5, Kentucky. Number 24, South Carolina, Saturday night at Rupp Arena. South Carolina 15-3 on the year, 5-0 in the SEC. We know about Kentucky. What do we know about South Carolina? They want to slow it down. They want to slow that tempo, especially when they're playing defense. Ken Pomeroy ranks them the number one defense efficiency-wise in the nation. And what they do is they make you use a lot of time on that shot clock. South Carolina is in the top 50 in the country in making their opponents take a long time to put up a shot. South Carolina, three-point defense on the year, they're number one in the country. And in two-point field goals, they're in the top 50 as well. This is the best defensive team in the country so far this year, and you'd expect nothing less from a Frank Martin team. However, no team in America allows more made free throws than South Carolina. You would think that would not be the case. Obviously a very physical team, get a lot of fouls called on them, and the other team usually makes those free throws. So that's the style of play game you're going to see tomorrow night. You're going to see a Kentucky team wanting to run up and down the court, while you'll see a South Carolina team wanting to slow it down and ugly it up. And that's the kind of game a lot of times you'll see in the first round of the NCAA tournament when you see an inferior team facing a superior team. And more often than not, the team that tries to slow it down succeeds in muddying the game up. But South Carolina 15-3, 5-0 SEC. What have they really done? Outside of the conference, they lost to Seton Hall. They lost to Memphis. Those were their two biggest out-of-conference games, and they lost to both. And they did lose to Clemson at home, a game which they should have won. In the SEC this year, their notable wins at Georgia, at Tennessee, and then at home earlier this week to Florida. Their best player is Thornwell. He missed 6 games earlier this year with a suspension, but still he averages over 18 points a game, almost 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. And in steals, he's at the top 20 in America in steals per game. So Sindarius Thornwell, South Carolina's best player. If South Carolina gets by this game, their next 5 games, all very, very winnable. They'll have Auburn at home, at Missouri, at LSU, and then Georgia and Alabama at home. All very winnable games. So if they win this game tonight, Kentucky might have a tough time catching South Carolina anytime soon, simply because of the fact South Carolina has a very favorable schedule the next couple of weeks. The line on this game started 13, now it's up to 13.5, and the early money, at least 65% of it, has gone on Kentucky. So who do we like in this game? Kentucky's still very good against the number this year, 11-7 against the spread, but they've also lost 3 in a row against the spread, and that's the kind of team you want to go on. We will call this game Kentucky 78, South Carolina 67, but this is not a game that we would put a ton of jelly beans on, if you know what I mean. Kentucky's run of scoring in the 80s ends tonight simply because South Carolina, the best defensive team efficiency-wise in the nation. And defense is something that plays both at home and on the road. So we'll take South Carolina to cover, but Kentucky wins this game, and we think rather easily. And we'll pick a few more college basketball games later in the show.
Boom shakalaka!
Speaking of the efficiency ratings and Ken Pomeroy, the new number one in the Ken Pomeroy ratings is Gonzaga, the nation's final undefeated team. And if it's the end of January, you know what that means regarding Gonzaga basketball. Everybody's kissing their butt. Jay Billis came out on ESPN yesterday and said, this team could go undefeated. No, they can't go undefeated. Mark Titus of The Ringer, that's Bill Simmons' website, says that Gonzaga is often better than their reputation. What reputation is that? Everybody thinks they're great, but they've done nothing in the tournament to prove otherwise. Better than their reputation. The numbers say you couldn't be more wrong. We talked about this earlier this week. We've seen this act before with Gonzaga. And the more they win these games, especially routing these terrible West Coast Conference teams, the more people are going to kiss their butts. And yes, they did defeat Florida and Iowa State this year. And they did defeat Arizona. And heck, they even beat Tennessee. But that's it. Those are the only games that they've won. And none of those games were true road games. In fact, they didn't play a true road game until New Year's Eve when they started their conference season against Pacific. So it's not like Gonzaga goes on the road and plays some tough games. They'll play some neutral site games, but they never go truly on the road. And the only games they have a chance to lose the rest of the year are road games at BYU and, of course, their bitter arch rival, St. Mary's. So now the pundits are going to put Gonzaga in the upper echelon of teams when we don't know if they deserve it or not. And if you ask me, they don't deserve it. And by the way, we saw this with Wichita State 3 years ago, running roughshod through the Missouri Valley Conference, a conference that, for my money, is a lot tougher than the West Coast Conference. So if you want to believe these pundits and you want to look at this team's record and say this is a different Gonzaga team, they're all different Gonzaga teams. I've heard that every year too. Oh, this team's different this year. No, they're not. Same as it ever was. The new boss, same as the old boss. Gonzaga, they'll be a number one seed because they probably won't lose more than two games at the most the rest of the year. And they'll be milking those Arizona and Florida wins until the cows come home. But other than that, there's a lot of Pepperdines and Pacifics and Santa Clara's in the wake. So let these pundits put Gonzaga at the top. And in fact, you go ahead and fill out your bracket this year and put Gonzaga in the Final Four. Something tells me the first weekend of April, I'll be pointing at you and laughing while I'm counting your money and you're waiting for baseball season to start.
From the corner!
Ah, the infamous Rick Pitino, John Calipari podcast came out. And the thing that caught my ear was Rick Pitino told Calipari to make sure that you are accountable for all of your actions. If that's not the pot calling the kettle black, I've never heard anything else. I wish I had enough time in this podcast to pause for 15 seconds to honor that statement, but I can't. And apparently, neither can Mr. Pitino.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. And if you expect them to walk through the door, they're going to be gray and old.
Speaking of Louisville, they will play in one of the biggest games of the weekend when they travel to Florida State. Number 12 Louisville versus number 10 Florida State. That line right now started at 4, now at 3. You can kill Pitino all you want, but when he loses his point guard, somehow, some way, he comes out of it stronger. And to see Louisville on the road as a 3-point dog, that is a huge tribute to Pitino's skills. Because let's face it, Florida State has been very good this year, especially at home. They've defeated everybody at home, and they're only a 3-point favorite this game. We won't touch it. This line is very tricky. It's a coin flip in terms of who wins the game. And the thing about this one, I wouldn't be shocked to see Louisville win this game straight up, and I wouldn't be shocked to see them lose by 30. That's why we'll stay away from it. But probably the biggest game of the weekend is Louisville traveling to Florida State.
You're going to stay man-to-man with me. What happens when I make a play?
Making plays!
We were just speaking of Gonzaga being a fraud. The other fraud that's getting a lot of run this year, especially after traveling to Lexington and winning in December, is UCLA. And they're the only other game this weekend where both teams are ranked. Number 3 UCLA hosting number 14 Arizona. UCLA a 6-point favorite. For us, if you got to take anybody in this game, you take Arizona in those points. But UCLA, as we have detailed on this show in the past, they are a fraud waiting to happen. They're right up there at Gonzaga. They're on a different level because they play different competition. But UCLA and their lack of defense, eventually, it's going to show up. It may not show up in their conference, but when they get to that tournament, it's going to show. A lot of people are picking UCLA as a number one seed. They're in third place in their own conference right now. And to be honest, we don't think they can overtake Arizona and Oregon by the end of the year. Now, they may get this win Saturday against Arizona, but we still don't see them as good enough to overtake Arizona and Oregon, who are both undefeated in the Pac-10. So the top of our fraud list, Gonzaga and UCLA, we'll see what UCLA has on Saturday.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
College football. Kentucky lost their defensive coordinator to Colorado. Advantage Kentucky. In the last 3 years, here's where Kentucky's ranked in defense. In 2014, 76th. In 2015, 59. This year, 86. And after those first two debacles, and then the third game against New Mexico State, they were getting routed at halftime. Apparently, Mark Stoops took over the defensive coordinator controls from DJ Elliott, rendering him basically useless sitting up in the booth. But if you're Colorado, why do you want to bring this guy in? Colorado won more games against the point spread than any Power 5 team in the country this year. And they were ranked 24th in defense nationally. This guy can only hurt you, right? So a loss for Kentucky football, but not really a loss for Kentucky football if you can read the writing on the wall.
After a few days of practice, players gave me a nickname. Started small, but now they'll chant it at me every now and then. That's pretty nice.
What's the nickname?
Wanker.
Do you know what it means?
I think it just means great.
Speaking of Kentucky assistant coaches, former Kentucky assistant coach Mike Leach, now the head coach at Washington State, another team that choked away a conference championship this year, came out and said that the SEC isn't special because all they do is pat each other on the back when they pass once every four plays, and then they hope that they all stuck their asses together so one hand grenade could kill them all. When speaking of SEC teams and SEC offenses, Mike Leach is a weird cat. That's what makes him good, but it's also what keeps him from being great. But the only good thing about this comment, other than it came from Mike Leach in the middle of January, is that it gives Paul Feinbaum something to talk about for at least 2 or 3 weeks. Because God knows that show right now, I know I rail on that show, on this show quite a bit, but it's only because for 4 months a year, that's a hysterical show to listen to. Between the callers and the information, it's good stuff. But I'm sorry, by the time we hit mid-January, nobody cares about college football for another 6 months. But yet all they do is continue talking about college football. I'm sorry, I digress. Don't knock a man's hustle. Paul Feinbaum is one of the biggest people in this industry. So what do I know? But I still say that show's very boring after football season ends.
You gotta ride a few players a little bit harder than some of the other players.
Blondie, you are killing me!
John, what do you got on there pants-wise? What is those?
3/4. And I get those in the women's section, John!
Here's a shocker from the University of Louisville. They're going to raise their football ticket prices next season. Wow, I didn't see that coming. You only had one of the best seasons in the history of the school. With two games to go, you'd only lost one game and you were being talked about in the playoff. And oh, by the way, you had a Heisman Trophy winner. Yes, you're going to get your ticket prices raised if you're a fan. But I was reading something on ESPN today about how Lamar Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner we're referring to, can bounce back next year. Bounce back? The guy had a good game, not a great game, but a good game against Kentucky. He was mediocre at best in his bowl game, and now everybody's down on him and hoping that he can bounce back next year? Wow, that's a tough crowd. You win a Heisman Trophy, and then you still are expected to bounce back next year? Those are expectations you can't live up to, no matter who you are. Oh yeah, we hope that Lamar Jackson can bounce back from a Heisman Trophy winning year. You know how stupid that sounds? Think about it.
Beware Petrino after a few years. Man can flat out coach. When he gets off his motorcycle, he's good.
NFL, the AFC and NFC championship games will be played on Sunday. Green Bay will travel to Atlanta, and you couldn't get two more different NFL cities. Green Bay. Nobody moves to Green Bay. Green Bay's not a transient town. People who live in the homes in Green Bay have those homes their entire lives and their families, and then it's passed down to generation to generation. Whereas in Atlanta, there may be no more transient city in America than Atlanta. Because when I was there for over 20 years, nobody that I met in Atlanta was from Atlanta. Everybody was from somewhere else. So in a place called the Park Tavern, a place that I've been many times, and known as a Packers bar, is advertising everywhere in Atlanta this week about come down and root for the Packers here at the Park Tavern, it doesn't rub the home team the right way. Including the quarterback, Matt Ryan, his wife was on Twitter yesterday eviscerating the Park Tavern for rooting against her husband and the hometown Atlanta Falcons. Now, when you're a city like Atlanta, different colleges and different fan bases, different teams and different sports, different fan bases, they all adopt certain bars as like their bar. In fact, when I was in Atlanta, there was one bar, a place called TJ's Sports Grill. It's on Holcomb Bridge Road, for anybody who's familiar with it. During any Kentucky football or basketball game, that's where a lot of the Kentucky people would go. It's kind of where they would migrate. And actually, I had been there a couple of times during a Kentucky game, and I would see people there. And everybody there was a Kentucky fan. So every bar had an adopted fan base. And so Park Tavern drew the short straw, being the only bar in town where the Packers go on Sunday, and now they're rooting against the hometown team. But I'm sorry, if you're the wife of Matt Ryan, you have to understand, you can't take these things personal. Just because you live in Atlanta doesn't mean you have to be a Falcons fan. Just because you live in Kentucky doesn't mean you have to be a Kentucky basketball fan. To each their own. But you wouldn't know it if you went to those Falcons games at the Georgia Dome, especially this one officially being the final home game for the Falcons in the Georgia Dome now. But Aaron Rodgers this week said it's going to be very loud down there, whether it's all natural or not. And the Falcons, one of the worst teams ever at piping in crowd noise. In fact, they were fined and penalized a couple of years ago for doing just that, piping in too much noise during home games. Because as we all know, Atlanta's fan base, no matter the sport, not exactly the best fan base there is. But Julio Jones will be ready to play this week after injuring himself last week. He gets injured a lot. For a superstar receiver, he gets injured quite a bit. And if you're at your fantasy draft every year, there's always the one guy who doesn't know how to pronounce his name. I was at a fantasy draft a couple years ago. This is what I felt pretty good about my chances. Some guy takes Julio Jones first round, and some people snicker, and then somebody leans over to him and says, dude, the J is silent in Julio. And the guy that took him goes, oh, okay, Julio Jones. That's when you feel pretty good about your chances. In the other game, Pittsburgh will travel to New England. New England, a 6-point favorite right now. In these games, I will take both the underdogs and the under both times and just hope for the best. And in fact, I would moneyline both underdogs. You're going to make a nice little profit. Can't go wrong moneylining Green Bay and Pittsburgh this week. Just saying.
Daily Fantasy is the best. I get to play every day.
You mean you get to gamble?
Not gambling.
Oh, it's definitely gambling. You have a massive gambling problem.
It's actually a skills-based game that is going to make us rich one day.
You're an idiot.
Other NFL news. Oakland officially filed to move to Las Vegas. Of course, this won't happen for about 3 years. And for our money, it's about time Las Vegas got a football team. That'll be the Las Vegas Raiders will be one of the greatest spectacles ever. And we'll just add to their aura.
Daily Fantasy Sports is just pure fun. And it's so simple.
Daily Fantasy is not just fun. It's who I am. It's what the f*** I do. I'm going to turn this into a full-time career.
I'm pregnant.
By the way, there's a spring football league coming about, and some of the players invited to play in it, Vince Young, Ray Rice, and Johnny Manziel. But of course, Johnny Manziel is clean and sober now, and he's just waiting for a team to give him a chance. Yeah, if you believe that, I hit 100% of my basketball picks, too. It's all right. Something tells me when Tony Romo leaves Dallas that Johnny Manziel will be the next guy up to be the backup. Just a hunch I have.
Don't listen to the critics. Daily Fantasy is a legitimate business.
Look at the size. This check.
I'm going to go with the check.
Look at this check.
$1,200 and you won $6.18.
You saying I'm not a big winner?
You spent $18 printing out this check at Kinko's.
Well, I was proud that I won. And look who the check is made out to. Big winner. Your f***ing husband.
Oh. Why don't you put it where the TV used to go, asshole?
Zach Orr is a third-year linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens and was voted second-team All-Pro this year, but he retired yesterday due to a congenital neck and spine issue, making him one of many, many young players under the age of 25, or is 24, retiring way too early. It just hammers home the fact that football is an extremely violent game. The news came out about Mark Gastineau. He was with the Jets in the 80s. He was one of the best players at getting sacks in the history of the NFL. In fact, for my money, he should still have that record because Michael Strahan and Brett Favre cheated to take that record from Mark Gastineau, but I digress. But Mark Gastineau now has been diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's diseases. All three of them. Now, this guy is an admitted and documented steroid user, so I'm sure that had a little bit to do with it. But according to him, it's from blows to the head repeatedly. And if you look at him now, he doesn't even look like the same guy. I don't know whether he's had work done or whatever, but he just looks a lot different. And then it makes you think, huh, eventually you won't have people that want to play NFL football. They won't even have a league. Well, no, that's not true at all. You know why? The final numbers came in and 103 college football players who are not seniors declared early for the NFL draft. So, like anything else that's paying big money, if one person quits, there's a long line of people after waiting to take his spot. So a guy like Zach Orr can retire from the league, but there's a whole bunch of kids waiting in line to take his place and collect that money.
You're a winner?
I'm a winner.
How the f*** are you a winner?
How the f*** am I a winner? I'll tell you how the f*** I'm a winner. I won $6.18 playing Daily Fantasy. That's how the f*** I'm a winner.
You spent $1,200.
Well, that's what you gotta do. You gotta spend money to make money.
Make $6.18, you spent $1,200.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I don't understand you.
It's because you don't understand sports, sweetie.
I understand math.
The Chicago Bears quarterback is a 300-pound lesbian. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Jay Cutler's wife, Kristen Calaveri, the former reality TV star who posted a picture of the two together on Instagram this week, in which Cutler took plenty of ridicule for looking overweight and having a weird haircut. So Cutler's wife apologized, saying that she apologized for making her husband look like a 300-pound lesbian, and posted another quote-unquote normal picture of the two of them. And you wonder why Jay Cutler is hated so much in Chicago. There are a million reasons, and this is one of them. Some people just have trouble follow them around.
With Daily Fantasy, all you need is a love of sports.
I think I just realized that at this very moment, I actually hate you.
Fantastic. I hate me too. So that's something we agree on for the first time in a while.
Is there something stronger than a divorce that we could get? Like a super divorce?
If there was, we probably couldn't afford it.
NBA! The Cleveland Cavaliers are 30-11. Coincidentally enough, the Cleveland Cavaliers at this time last year were 30-11. What's the difference? This time last year, they fired their coach, David Blatt, who's now a coach in Turkey. How do you go from NBA head coach, how do you go from coaching in the finals one year and then coaching the conference leaders at midseason to coaching in Turkey by the next year? I don't get that. But anyway, happy anniversary to David Blatt. Fired this day last year. I don't think Tyronn Lue was the difference between the Cavaliers winning the championship last year and losing it the year before, but I digress.
Set your game on fire. You bring the peanut butter and we'll bring the jam. Caution, boom shakalaka can be habit forming. Side effects include foaming at the mouth, taunting, trash talking, and catching on fire. Whoa, boom shakalaka!
Lots of talk about Carmelo Anthony and his lousy Knicks team cleaning house, saying now he might be open to leaving New York. I can promise you this. When the season starts next year, Carmelo Anthony will not be a member of the Knicks. And if he is a member of the Knicks, Phil Jackson will not be a member of the Knicks front office. One of the two has to go. And if Carmelo wants out of New York City, he'll be gone. But if he wants to stay, he will stay.
I'd be the worst courtside reporter. So Dwight Howard, how do you feel like your 12 missed free throws affect the people that bet the over?
Speaking of players who are gone, Rajon Rondo said yesterday that he wants to play another 6 or 7 more years. Something tells me that the league won't let him play 6 or 7 more years because he's pissed so many people off. But after those 6 or 7 more years, he wants to be a head coach of the NBA. Let's see. Malcontent player who nobody liked, completely aloof, completely selfish, thinks he knows everything, thinks he knows more than the coaches, now wants to coach himself. That'll never happen. There is no team in the NBA that will ever give that kid a chance to coach. I can promise you that right now. But how can this kid say he wants to play 6 or 7 more years? Right now, he's a bench player for the Chicago Bulls. And here's a stat for you. Rondo hasn't hit a free throw in a month. That's 462 minutes of playing time. Yeah, that'll get you off the bench real quick.
When I gamble on sports, it makes me wish horrible things on other teams' players. I have money on game 7, Heat versus Spurs. It was tight in the fourth quarter. I started thinking, you know what? You know what? If Tim Duncan dropped dead right now, I feel like the Heat could rally around that. And maybe they'd be energized by Tim Duncan's sudden death and the Spurs wouldn't play so well because they're sad about it, you know? There'd be lots of grief-related turnovers. It's hella 5-second violations because Ginobili's holding the ball, just looking off into the distance, sadly.
Russell Westbrook is not an All-Star starter. Some people agree with it, some people don't. Westbrook came out and said, I don't play for All-Star games, I play to win championships. Well, show us a championship then, because the one time that OKC got to the finals, they blew it against the Heat 5 years ago. It's hard to believe that's 5 years ago. It's also hard to believe that Oklahoma City once had Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. If you're Oklahoma City, how pathetic do you feel right now? Kevin Durant simply walked away from you. And James Harden, you traded for a bag of magic beans. So if you're Oklahoma City and you're wondering what went wrong, look in the mirror, because that's the only reason Oklahoma City is not winning NBA championships right now. the way they should be.
Strike to claim it. Strike to claim it.
Major League Baseball, the Hall of Fame, inducted three people. Tim Raines, who we were thrilled to see get in, despite his cocaine problem. Jeff Bagwell, questionable steroid user. And Pudge Rodriguez, 99.99% definite steroid user. In fact, after the voting came out, Jose Canseco, who wrote about Pudge Rodriguez in his book as being a steroid user, couldn't believe what he just saw, to quote Jack Buck. And to be honest, I can't either. These Hall of Fame voters are about as hypocritical as anybody can be. If you're going to let these steroid users in, if you're going to let one in, you better let them all in. And if they're on your ballot, you should be voting for them. So that means if Barry Bonds is on the ballot, if Roger Clemens is on the ballot, they both better be getting Hall of Fame votes. Because if you let Mike Piazza in last year, and you let Pudge Rodriguez in this year, and Jeff Bagwell in this year, all three of those, there's a lot of hints saying that they took steroids. If you let those guys in and you don't let Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in, now you're just being ridiculous. My thing would be, if he's on the ballot, if he's legally on the ballot to be voted in, you vote in the best players no matter what they did, which means Manny Ramirez should be in the Hall of Fame. But these holier-than-thou Hall of Fame voters have to take all that into consideration. Oh, and by the way, why is it Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame? Is it because of his on-field exploits? He was probably the best starting pitcher in the history of playoff baseball. But no, can't let him in. Why? He was a jerk when he was a player, and his political views piss off a lot of people now. Oh, can't have that in the Hall of Fame. Got to punish him for it. Punish a guy for having an opinion. All right. Look, I don't like Curt Schilling either, but he was a great pitcher. And take that bloody sock game out of it. Ketchup packet game, whatever you want to call it. Take that out of it. He still deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And believe me, he's a jerk, but there are a lot of jerks in that Hall of Fame too. The only guy that you shouldn't vote for is Pete Rose. Now, I hate to say it, but you shouldn't vote for him because you can't. He's not on the ballot.
Lansford, good hitting Oakland third baseman, and Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air, foul, off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds have done the absolute improbable by defeating the club considered to be the best in Major League Baseball, and they've done it in a four-game series sweep.
Cincinnati Reds news. Their best pitcher last year has been traded for Magic Beans. Dan Straley, who on April 1st last year was walking the streets as a free agent, signed by the Reds. By the way, their first game was 3 days after Straley signed with the team last year. Straley went on to go 14-8 with a 3.76 ERA in 191 innings. So what do the Reds do? They trade him to Miami. There you go. Apparently, they got some hot minor league prospects in return, which is what the Reds are going for these days. But hey, if any of those prospects are worth anything, absolutely get rid of Straley. He had his best season ever, and his ERA plus was 113. By the way, an average pitcher has an ERA plus of 100. So he was good, especially for the Reds, when you compare him to the rest of the Reds' rotation. But he wasn't exactly beating the world. He wasn't exactly Clayton Kershaw. So if you're a Reds fan, and you're getting all these prospects for all these people you keep shipping out, when do these prospects start to hit? Oh, but the Reds were 36-37 in the second half of last year. They're starting to come on. Well, they're also the worst team in the National League, and I'm sorry. That's usually how things go when you start 32-57. The Reds are a last place team again this year. And the reason why they're trading their best players is A, they're trying to rebuild, and B, they look up at the standings and see a team like the Cubs who aren't going to stink anytime in the near future and wonder what the heck they're going to do to combat that. Because even the Cardinals are doing that.
This could be it. Left field. George Foster. Geronimo Foster makes the catch. That's it. The Cincinnati Reds win the World Series in four straight. It was a sweep. The final score, Cincinnati 7, the New York Yankees 2.
The Toronto Blue Jays introduced their new Sunday uniforms yesterday, and they are red. What? Toronto Blue Jays wearing red uniforms. Get used to it, people. You're going to see them about 26 times this year. Next thing you're going to tell me that the Cincinnati Reds are going to wear blue uniforms next year. That's exactly what the Toronto Blue Jays are trying to tell you.
I want winners.
Green is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. This week in our weekday games, we are 2-0 against the spread. Right now, our underdog picks against the number for the year, 57.9%, and our upset specials, 64.3%. And you can see all these picks documented at our website, bottomlinelexington.podbean.com. We like three games against the number on Saturday. Number 13, Butler, travels to DePaul. Butler, a 14-point favorite, and deservedly so. Butler 16-3, 5-2 in their conference. DePaul 1-5 at the very bottom of the Big East Conference. And Butler, the only team to beat Villanova so far this year. So, of course, they're better than DePaul, right? DePaul's terrible. 1-5 in the conference, and they've lost 7 of their last 8 overall. But that one game they won was a home game in conference against Providence. Providence is not terrible. DePaul at home, a competitive team. And of those 6 conference games, they've played 4 of them away from home. And the 2 they did play at home, they covered the spread in both those games. Last year at DePaul, Butler traveled to DePaul, and DePaul lost that game in overtime by only 5 points. Another game in which they covered the spread. So we don't think DePaul is going to beat Butler. And we don't think DePaul is better than Butler. But we'll take DePaul to cover against Butler, getting 14. Number 17, Wisconsin, travels to Minnesota. Little Richie Petito. Wisconsin 15-3 on the year. Minnesota 15-4. Wisconsin, the 3.5-point favorite. Minnesota played Wisconsin 3 times last year, lost all 3 of them. 67% of the money early is on Wisconsin to defeat Minnesota and cover that spread. But this is a spot, and you got to take names out of it. We'll go against Wisconsin and take Little Richie Petito at home, getting 3.5. Give us Minnesota plus the points against Wisconsin. And our third and final game is the contrarian game of the week. We go to the West Coast Conference and the only undefeated team in America, Gonzaga, at home against Portland. Do you know anything about Portland basketball other than Clyde Drexler? They took Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, who did the little shoulder shrug after he hit 6 three-pointers in the first half against them in the NBA Finals. 25 years ago. Good Lord, I'm old. Not that Portland. Not the Trailblazers. Not the Damian Lillard Trailblazers. We're talking about University of Portland basketball. The Portland Pilots, as they're called. Coached by, you guessed it, Terry Porter, the former Portland Trailblazer. And you're going to give me 29 points with Gonzaga playing at home against Portland. Oh, by the way, Gonzaga beat Portland 3 times last year, and Portland and Gonzaga is 13-2 against the spread this year, including 10 wins in a row against the spread. You don't think that's going to be snapped anytime soon? I sure do, because point spread wins don't last forever, baby. Diamonds may last forever, but streaks against the spread do not. Oh, and by the way, like we talked about earlier, everybody's kissing that Gonzaga butt right now. From the Ringer to Jay Billis to every talking head on ESPN that talks college basketball. Oh, we love Gonzaga. They're not covering this game for that alone. Give us Portland getting 29 against Gonzaga Saturday night. So, your dogs against the spread for Saturday. DePaul getting 14 against Butler. Minnesota getting 3.5 against Wisconsin. And Portland getting 29 against undefeated Gonzaga. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogies of the week. And you can take those to the desert and smoke them.
All right, folks, this is the bottom line. Now listen, you know how some of your friends tell you there's no such thing as a sure thing? There's no locks. There's no guaranteed winners. Forget those people. You know what they are? They are losers.
And that does it for the Friday, January 20th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, The Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.